Hello, and thanks for staying. I got this little whatever it's called, interactive thing. So if you need to get a piece of paper, raise your hand and Jennifer can hand them out. So I have a little quiz. Where was CST held in 2013? Anyone tell me? Where was CST held in 2013? No, don't write it down. Shouldn't have said that. Pasadena. Pasadena, so it was held in Pasadena. 2013 in Pasadena, some of the people in the state were working on this project where we were looking at opiate overdoses, and Svetlana from Kentucky was doing this project. She was heading it, and she asked about 11 states, hey, send in your poisoning data and send in some of the types, and we'll compare it. So we go there, and there's a surprise for some states, and it's a bad surprise for Kansas. So look at Kansas, and you're looking at this chart, and it's pretty busy, but the chart shows two things. It shows the overall rate of poisoning, and you're going to see overdoses to other drugs, and you can see the breakdown. But the general idea is that for our state, one in two drugs was not given a type of drug. So one in two drug overdose deaths was not given a type of drug. So if you think about that, and you think about prevention strategies, if someone's coming to you and say, how to reduce poisoning deaths in Kansas, we could tell them something like opiates are going up, but we really can't tell them and be confident about it because one in two are unspecific. And these unspecific codes are something like unspecified drug or multi-drug toxicity. So if you're going to try to do a prevention effort against unspecified drugs or multi-drug toxicity, you really can't start anywhere. It could be from anything from ethanol to opiates or heroin. So that's the issue in our state. So when we saw that, we saw this, and we're like, oh man, this does not look good. And that's what the search, I think I walked out of the meeting and called my boss, I was like, didn't look good. We're down there with Michigan. Michigan's pretty bad too. We're not alone. The Midwest, we hang together. We keep it real. So we have this issue with drug specificity. So the next thing we do is, CST was kind of, I think, ahead, and they told us, before we publish this, you should probably talk to your state FD about it. And we talked to him, and he said, hey, hold on. Do you guys publish this yet? And we're like, no, we didn't publish it yet. And he told us something, and we didn't realize that you're connected. So as an epidemiologist, you look at surveillance, you look at it from your view. So I'm at the bottom right. I'm in the injury prevention program, which is in the Bureau of Health Promotion, which is in the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, and there's a state epi who's ahead of that, and he also has this other division, the Bureau of Epi and Public Health Informatics, and there's biostatistics. And biostatistics collects the data, and they give it to us. The thing we didn't know about was there was someone in the room, Margie Warner from NCHS, and she funds our biostatistics program with a quality improvement project. So it's really awkward when Margie Warner's in the room and says Kansas has this really big deal with drug poisonings. They only got one in two are coded with a specific drug. And then we don't tell biostatistics. And so they hear about it in a national document or in a report like this. So it was right for the state FD to be involved. So we have this data, we learned this thing, but we have to know that it's not just you. Someone else in your agency, someone else is on the hook for these things. And biostatistics talks to coroner, so it's kind of a big thing. So let's look at how does that happen? How do you go from someone dying to the data that I analyze in my data set? So the one thing I learned is the death certificate is not about health. The death certificate is actually about, it's a legal document. It's a legal document that closes an estate. And this is what 90% of, for most people in the world, they will never care about how you die. They will care about that you died, that they don't have to send you an insurance check, that they don't have to send you a social security check, that your house is going to go to your son, your car is going to go to your daughter. That's the most important thing about a death certificate. And when you talk to people, these coroners, and you talk to these people about it, the death part, the why you died is not very important. It's that other stuff that most of the world cares about. So let's say a person dies, their body is transferred to a funeral home. Now in the funeral home, the funeral director starts a death certificate. And on the top of the death certificate, I forgot to bring my umbrella, is all this demographic information. How old is the person, what's their name, where they live, their race, their education, their job, all that's on the top. And this is the funeral director interviewing the family, writing this down. And at the bottom of the line, there's one for the coroner or the medical examiner. In our state, we are a coroner system. And so the coroner system, the coroner fills out how the person died or how they believe they died. And he fills it out by text. So he writes something like, and this is why you have the piece of paper, because I will be testing you, I'll be putting you in the coroner situation. He fills it out by text. He writes, this person was hit by a car, or he writes, this person fell and broke his hip. And it's literal text. And that's why they call it literal text. And the data, so that death certificate's finished. He sends it to the Kansas Department of Health Environment. Then he sends that data, he sends that piece of data to NCHS, and they put it in this crazy algorithm, literally called SuperMyCar. That's the name of it. So SuperMyCar takes that literal text and gives it an ICD-10 code. And then NCHS sends that back to the state, and the state cleans it up a little bit more and gives it to me to analyze. So that's how a person dies and goes all the way back to me. So this is the experiment, and this is the interactive thing. I want everyone to tell me what happened in the situation. What went down here? And I'm gonna pick five people to come up and talk about it. So you got 2 minutes, and you gotta tell me what happened. This is, everyone sees this. What happened in the situation? What went down here?
Did somebody die?
No, no one died. Can everyone see it? Yeah. This is interpretive. There's no right or wrong answers. Let's see. If you're finished, raise your hand so I can just get a good idea. All right, we got a couple. This is a very well-educated room, so it's no pressure. There's no right or wrongs. There's a... Okay. Do we got some volunteers who want to read? Get up this mic right here. Okay, come up.
I just said it's somebody able to dodge it moving out of their apartment.
Okay.
They're cleaning up and getting ready to move.
All right, we got another person.
Okay. I think what happened is somebody put flour in the garbage, or there was flour on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Dog got into it, knocked it over, flour went everywhere.
Okay.
Flour.
Do we have any other theories? Theories going here? No one else? We need one more. We need a three. Okay.
Okay, I think the cat knocked flour onto the dog's head, got really angry, chased the cat around the house, flying flour everywhere, and now it's just chilling.
Okay. So now he's just chilling. So let me get that. So is it Christopher who went first?
Yes.
So Christopher, this is what happens next, and this is the thing we didn't realize. So now I'm the apartment manager, and I call Christopher to the stand, and I say, Christopher, you saw the pictures, you saw the scene. In your opinion, are you 100% sure what you wrote down is correct? In a court of law? No, right? So what would you write down? You'd probably write down something vague like, spilt flour. Right? You would write down spilt flour.
Rule out moving away.
Yeah, maybe ruling away. So this is the issue with the coroner. The second they put something down, it's a legal thing. So you put down an overdose, you put down a suicide, and I'm the DA, and I pull you on the stand, and I say, in a court of law, under oath, are you 100% sure that John Doe did this thing? That's how he died. And this is why, and they never tell you, this is why coroners are nonspecific. This is the number one reason why they're nonspecific. This is a legally binding decision. This is not a... This is not like what I just asked you. Can you write something down and what you believe? And sometimes they have less evidence than this. Sometimes if they don't have the money to do an autopsy, what are they going to write down? And if they don't know, the body's down months after, what are they going to do? So this is the difficulty with what a coroner has to do. Yeah, is a question?
But isn't the case that in most states, the forensic examiner by law is called on to investigate the cause of death?
Yeah.
And not rely on...
Well, yeah, it's anecdotal, but a lot of times there's a lot of things that go into it, and hopefully you believe that there's a lot of forensic, you have extra doctors, but if you know anything about the coroner system, they're extremely busy. In our state, we have 5 coroners for an entire state. We have a lot of deaths. Every death is not treated with the same amount of due diligence as you would hope. So we hope we live in a world with perfect forensic examiners. Everyone gets an autopsy. Everyone gets a toxicology test. everyone gets the full, you know, the whole deal, but that doesn't happen.
It's like CSI.
CSI. Yeah, you wish it was. You wish it was CSI. And if and let's look at this. If you're if you die and you're a homeless person, who's going to advocate for you?
So about how many deaths per year did your state
have? Wow, tough question. Good question that I should have written down, but I did not write down. I think about 1,000. That's a wild, wild guess.
It's a lot more
than that. Injured? Oh, I'm sorry. I should write it down. Yeah, I don't know.
Here's, I know for Vermont, we're 625,000. We have about 5,000 deaths a year total. So,
I
think it's Kansas.
2.3 million.
Okay, so it's going to be maybe 20,000?
20,000, okay. Good, thanks. Sorry. Yeah.
Just to clarify, when you say that, I like that timeline that you, those steps that you wrote out as
yeah.
far as the process, that's referring to a subset of deaths in your
state, yeah.
right?
Where no, the, no, these are all deaths.
Where the coroner even yeah. gets involved.
So this is the part that we're not analyzing. Yeah. So what...
I mean, I felt that's true. I'm family doctor. I felt that's true because my patients all
right.
the time.
Yeah.
Natural deaths.
Yeah.
It's a subset of all your deaths.
Yeah, some of the deaths.
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing. That's an unnatural cause.
Right.
Yes. My bad.
What you're
yeah, yeah.
About.
I only look at injuries, so I only hear injury deaths.
Right. So from your perspective, that's
yeah.
Yeah,
in my small world. So, yeah.
Not. Because you're in a hospital, then the physician will write the cause of death, right?
Or a worker home.
I'm sorry. Open a can of worms. Okay. Okay. We'll get back. We'll get back at you. We can talk about this later. The thing after this is, as a room we were reading, this is human beings reading each other's writing. Imagine if it's a computer system reading the writing, what happens then? And you're going to get into the issues of why death coding is very suspect and it's a sausage factory when you learn about everything that's going on. So we take this and we're like, oh man, so we're learning about this, we're talking to them and we learn about all these things and we're like, oh man, how are we going to fix this? And then we go back to them and we say, you know, there's these are the codes that we thought were issues and they're unspecifics, and we just said to our vital statistics department, hey, we don't want these, we want you to reduce these. And that's all we told them. And then they come back a year later and they said, yeah, we told the coroners, they said, they don't want these codes. So then we see this huge uptick in multi-drug toxicity and we're like, oh man, we didn't want that either. So the issue is that we have to really, and if you're in your state, you're figuring this out and you're trying to do this, you have to know exactly what you want them to say to get exactly what you want in the end. And you have to be clear about how you want to do it. So these are a group of coroners and medical examiners, very educated. Most of them have MDs. And you're telling them in some way, hey, I don't think you're doing your job right. You should be doing it like this. And when you go to them with that, you have to be very clear what you want. You can't be saying, well, we told you this last year, but you know, we mean this. So the thing with that I'm going to do now and going back is there's two things. Margie Warner talked to me yesterday about with SuperMyCard, there's actually called something called the tables, where it shows exactly what the system is trying to do and how it spits out a result. So I have to learn that. We also have to look at all of our records with death records. What is giving these unspecified? What is giving these multi-drug toxicities, these literal codes? And understanding that totally. So when we go back to the coroners next time saying, hey, well, this is what we want you to do, and this is why, this is the numbers behind it, and this is what... exactly what we want you to do. And that was something we just didn't know about. And that was just a miscommunication. So telling someone to fix something is one thing. Telling them how to fix something and what you want out of it is another thing. You also have to sell it to these coroners, because these coroners are very busy people. They probably, you know, they don't deal with a lot of living human beings. So you have to tell them, hey, we see these are the numbers, they look bad, and if we don't know what type of drug it is, we can't inform our prevention efforts. We can't inform them, so we can't tell people what types of drugs are the big issues in our state. People ask us that. We can say we think it's a drug, but 1 in 2 are unspecific. So the thing I want to end on is everyone should be on the same page. So as an epidemiologist, you work with the data set and you kind of do this analysis, and we've seen so many presentations. But everyone in the state is kind of, there's a lot more people in your state, there's a lot more people who work on your data who are involved in it. So with us, we learned we found something wrong with the data, but the vital statistics, they should have known exactly what was wrong with the data. And then the vital statistics should tell the coroners what's wrong with the data, and they should understand it too. And then how can we all talk together to get to this outcome? And we know what the outcome is. We want to reduce the number of nonspecific drug deaths. And so it's pretty complicated. You have to learn, everyone has to learn each other's incentives. So the coroner, their incentive is not to give the most accurate data thing possible. Their incentive is not to go to court in a lot of cases. They do not want to go to court. They do not want to get called on. So they're going to do whatever they take to not do that. The vital statistics, their incentive is to do quality control. But you have to know that maybe they have quality control issues, and you have to tell them when you're doing these projects and you are doing quality control, hey, I'm doing quality control. And for us, this is the problem when you see, when you have your data and you think it's an issue and you're trying to fix it. It's not a fix it overnight. It's not calling one person. It's calling a lot of people, dealing with a lot of different facets. And luckily in the state of Kansas, we're all in one building. So I just have to go downstairs and talk to one person. If you're in a really large state, I couldn't imagine, you know, the loopholes you have to go to get a meeting with the head of, you know, your vital statistics department, or how many people you have to get online, or is there a coroner association, a medical exam association? So so I hope that was it. It's a very simple problem, and trying to just look at what it was. I was surprised I got accepted, because I was like, I'm not giving any data. I'm not, I'm just giving this giving this short story, and I don't know how it's going to go. So thank you, CSC, for throwing me at the back end of this thing, but I'm happy to be here. So thank you. And this is my email. Thanks.
I just had a possible suggestion that may or may not work in your system, because it sounds like you have multiple coroners. What we've done in Vermont is we actually get the data. I work with medical examiners directly, and we get the data directly from them. So we don't actually have to wait for the ICD-10 codes to come out. So we have CSTE recently put out a very nice SAS code for using to search literal text, so you can pull out the drug from if it's in the literal text. So I don't know whether the issue is that they're not putting the drug names on the death certificates, or if it's just that the way they're putting them on is not a way that can be read by the coders over at NCHS. But yeah, that might be a possibility if the drugs are being written down, that you might be able to get the raw data and do some analysis.
Yeah, and the one thing was, and this is probably sillier than it was, but I stopped reading the literal text because it was really depressing. So I know it sounds weird, but once you start doing this, you know why.
It's true.
I stopped reading it, so I didn't. I try to avoid it at all costs. So the one thing I have to do is now go back and literally read it, because you're right. I don't know what they're writing to get these things, and I have to see if it's possible to mine.
I'm guessing Marty probably told you about this, but the National Association of Medical Examiners has a position paper on how to do this for coroners and medical examiners. And what it says is basically toxic effects of multiple drugs, and then a list.
Yeah.
Usually in parentheses. And I was thinking that that paper might be effective for your, to pass to your coroners.
So we had that, and this is another thing. you realize that there's, this is funny, but these hundreds of deaths come down to one person who has opinion. So I think there was in our state, there was one guy who just didn't want to write out more, and we have to go ask him to do it. So I think that we should go back, and I should look that up. I don't think I've read that, but it's really funny when you think about it. This whole system, the crux of it is on a couple people, and you have to change their opinion. So that's the hard part. But I'm gonna totally grab that. Yeah.
Hi, I've also been working with medical examiners and on disasters, because one of the things that we have found is that they'll write all the cause of death but not fail to mention the disaster. So you'll have carbon monoxide and you'll never know if it was a disaster or not. And one of the things, I work at CDC, one of the things that I've been working with Barney as well, with electronic death registration, and how do we leverage that for surveillance? Because, you know, they're getting a lot of money to upgrade these, and I look at it as, you know, as you fix this overdose thing, you know, like opiate overdoses, you're going to get heroin. You know, you want to know this information quickly. And so I really feel strongly that, you know, with medical examiners, if there's a way with their electronic system to be feeding into the EDRS, electronic death registration, there's less typing, and maybe you just flag into the talk screen and just have the information there, and really work around people and getting things pulled into that. And I think you know, there's a lot of.
Just a note on that, at least from the law in Vermont, So the toxicology is not necessarily on the death certificate unless it was the cause of death. So that can be protected under HIPAA. So like I have a problem because sometimes people want the tox information, for example, the motor vehicle accident, and that's private protected medical information, so you don't necessarily, you can't necessarily attach that to like an ERS record.
The audience members, yeah.
Stuff behind it, too, like the idea of, you know, if you could have, here's your death certificate and your ERS stuff behind it where Epi's been looking at it.
Yeah.
So you're probably picking up there's a lot of state variety in how this is collected. So
in Oregon, we have the electronic direct access to our medical examiner data as it's being updated. So I can get an update within hours with my own system. But actually, the tox reports are held actually by the police in a totally different area.
Yeah.
There are ways to link the data sets once you pull it, but getting access to both of them is extremely tricky.
And then there's this. Tox reports are not standardized.
No, they're not.
So another wrinkle.
Yeah. We actually have the issue that it's not in our law that we're allowed to give our toxicology results to the police.
Isn't that crazy?
Like we can't give it. If the medical examiner draws it, then it's protected under HIPAA. It can't be just given to the police.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions or comments? I hope this doesn't deter you from doing this great work, but just know once you walk down this road, it is a dark road. Thank you. See you in Alaska.